house of the Lord.
I hear a familiar voice back there.
Hello, welcome to the house of the Lord.
Thank you much. All right, I'm waiting to hear this. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored.
I've been waiting all week to hear that.
Go sit with Jenny. She doesn't have anybody sitting there.
Humbled by your support of this church and the mission and ministry that goes on here. But I hope there's a few of you out here today that maybe forgot your cards last week or are willing to make that pledge today. I've left the basket up there at the end of our service today during the closing hymn. You can come forward with your cards and place them in the basket. We got about 60% of the pledge cards that we received last year, so I'm hoping that folks would make that commitment to your church and be willing to join with us in ministry here. So I would encourage you to do that. I hope there's some pledge cards maybe in the back if someone needs one. Are there a few around somewhere the ushers might have? But if not, we can get them to you as well. So I appreciate it if you'd prayerfully consider joining us in ministry here at Lakeside. Just a few quick announcements. Of course, read your bulletin. Everything is in there as well. But Super Bowl Sunday coming up, Super S-O-U-P-E-R. And we're collecting our youth and our church and collecting foods for our food pantry and accepting any donations that you would like to give towards the food pantry. We'd encourage you to do that the next two Sundays. Bring your food in and place it in the two containers there in the narthex on East Side. A reminder of our leadership council is this week. It's moved up a week because of Ash Wednesday. So hopefully everyone has remembered. We will take care of our church business this Wednesday, which in turn means we'll have a Bible study this week. We're going to skip this week. The following week is Ash Wednesday, and we will be having an Ash Wednesday service here with imposition of ashes as well on the 10th at 7 p.m. And then our Lent study will begin the following Wednesday. So I hope you all can come out and join us as we have a great study through Lent on John. We're going to study John and his mission that Jesus called him to as well. So just a reminder of that. On February 17th at 7 p.m. we'll be starting our Lenten study. I think that's enough announcements for today. I'm ready to worship the Lord. Are you? Amen. Amen. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you. that love. Let us join now in a prayer. God of hope and love, let your light shine upon us this day. Let your patience and kindness flow through us, inspiring us to new depths of love and hope. Transform our love that we might overcome envy and resentment and rejoice in justice and righteousness. Envelop us in your love, that believing, hoping, and enduring may become our way of life on the path of love. In loving hope we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to say, you guys sounded great on that opening hymn. Everybody was singing, and it was awesome. I always think about this Bible verse. It's Philippians 4:19, and it says, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ." And, you know, anytime you need something, I always remember that. God will meet our needs. It may not be what we want, but he'll meet our needs. And then Isaiah 43:19 says, "I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland."
What did Jeremiah do?
You think he listened and did what God told him? Yes, he did. Yeah, he sure did. Jeremiah minded his daddy, didn't he? The big daddy in the sky. What I want you to know today is that when you're told to do something and you think, oh, I can't do that. It's too much for me. I'm just a kid. You can do it. You can do it. No matter what it is, with God's help, you can do it. Now that sounds sort of crazy, doesn't it? Because you could say, my friend told me to climb a 20-story building on the outside. Would you do it? Because I can do anything? I don't think God told you to be that careless and foolish, did he? So that's not from God. But when God wants us to do something, and you'll find this out as you get older, God's going to ask you to do things that's going to sound like climbing the outside of a 20-story building. You're going to say, no way, I can't do that. But if God wants you to do it, you'll be able to do it. Does that make sense? Do you trust God? Do you trust God? If you trust God, God is going to do that for you. If it's from God, you will be able to do it. That's my message for you today. Be like Jeremiah. Jeremiah trusted God. So I want you to trust God, and when you get these messages from God, and you'll know what they are. Right now, you may not be able to pick up on that too easy, but you will know. And God will help you through those things and allow you to do it. Right? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for Jeremiah and his example to us this morning. Father, all we have to do is say yes. If your commands come to us, even if we're scared, even if we think we can't do it, God, we know that you will take us through that journey. We love you. Bless these children. Bless these young people. Bless them for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. All right, good deal. Some of you are going off to Sunday school. Miss Maria. I never thought I would be of the generation where you start letting your age get slip out when you say things. I must be getting old. But that's okay, because I have a lot of fine examples here before me of people that have survived 55. So thank you. Mere children, you call, some of you call me a child still. Thank you. It's the time in our service when we go before the Lord in prayer. We do have some folks that need lifting up special prayers today, some praises as well. Destiny, obviously, is still in her brace for her knee. We're praying for your quick recovery, Destiny, and back up and going strong again. So lift Destiny up. Buddy Carr is still at V in Lakeside for rehabilitation. Phyllis Harrington, as well as a Medicana. Chuck Ness had a shoulder surgery. I guess it's been a couple of weeks ago now, but he's in Medicana. Is that where he's at?
Yeah.
Okay. Phyllis Harrington's in Woolbright. What's that one? Manor Care. I'm sorry, I got those two mixed up. So I don't believe Phyllis is quite up for visitors just quite yet. But if you want to go by and see Chuck, I'm sure he would tell you a story. Randall Coffey as well, a brother who is ill. From Emma. Randall up this morning, Danny Davis as well, with heart concerns. Tom Harden as well has had the flu this week, so for his continued healing as well. And we've been praying for travel mercies today, actually, as some of our ladies are returning from Leesburg at the women's retreat. So we pray that they have had a good time and that they have been refreshed and renewed in the Lord today. I know there's things on your heart today. Now is the time that you bring them before the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Gracious God, we love you. We trust you. We ask that you would make us like Jeremiah. Father, as you called him out of his safety and out of his place of comfort, you assured him that you would be there with him. Father, I pray today that as we as adults as well should not fear, that we should trust. And that is a difficult thing. But Father, we're committing to you today that we will try to listen to you closely. Father, I pray for discernment, for your call upon each of our lives. That we would know when it's you speaking to us and not coming from somewhere else. Father, the ones that have been lifted up today, I pray that they would find healing and comfort and solace in times of grief. That you would meet each one of us where we need you most. Father, we pray for those going through transition, moving on to new stages of our lives. Those that are seeking you stronger than ever. Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself in each of these situations. Father, I pray today that you would make us bold and strong in our faith, and that you would walk beside us. We know that you do not turn your back on us, but sometimes we turn our backs on you. I pray today that we would be strong in the face of criticism, in the face of denial, in the face of turmoil. I pray that we would only see your face. Father, we live in a fallen world. We pray today for our community, for our country, for our world. All around us, Lord, seeing that the world has lost its focus, has lost its direction. We pray today for those suffering in our world, those being persecuted for being followers of Christ, for those being killed in our world. Father, to us it seems senseless. We cry out to you. Father, I pray that as our church moves forward into this new year, that the pledge commitment that we made last Sunday would carry us through this year, and it would give us a sense of focus, a sense of direction, a sense of where you are calling us as a church. Father, I pray that everyone would want to be a part of that ministry. Father, we pray today for those making a commitment to this church, to you, Father, not just the church, a commitment to you. So, Father, be with us today as we worship you, as we praise you, as we give you the glory. Let us pray together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
sacrifices, our service, and our knowledge are empty. Today we are invited to evaluate our relationships with the Lord and with one another. We're invited to understand the offering today, not as a collection, but as a token of the depth and commitment we have to the Lord Jesus Christ, His church, and to the world He loves so much. We're invited to move beyond sentiment and symbolism as we demonstrate our love for God through the ancient practice of sacrificial giving. Would the ushers please come forward to receive our offering?
Thank you.
service to our church at the Wendell. Some of our members gone away to the women's retreat. Wendell said, let's see what happens. Wendell, it went well. Congratulations, you've done okay. You've done more than okay. Our scripture today comes from Jeremiah. How many of you in here can console with Jeremiah? Jeremiah, you know, God came and gave him his word, and I can relate to this. I had this experience in 2003. At the moment, I thought, God, I'm in. I'm all in. The next day, I started questioning God. In our scripture today, we're going to hear that Jeremiah had the same problem. And for that, I am grateful. Because I am not unlike people we read about in the Bible. And you are not either. Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's Word today through Jeremiah. We're going to be in chapter 1. This is called the call on Jeremiah's life, starting in verse 4 through 10. The Lord's Word came to me. Before I created you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I made you a prophet to the nations. Ah, Lord God, I said, I don't know how to speak because I'm only a child. The Lord responded, don't say, I'm only a child. Where I send you, you must go. What I tell you, you must say. Don't be afraid of them, because I'm with you to rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, I'm putting my words in your mouth. This very day I appoint you over nations and empires, to dig up and pull down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the example you've given us through Jeremiah. Father, we love you. Let this message sink into us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love what it says there in verse 8. Don't be afraid of them. That means you. I shouldn't be afraid of you. Some of you scare me sometimes. Amen? Amen? I'm a big dude, too. I can usually take care of myself. But I've soon come to learn in ministry that size doesn't matter. Do you believe that God knows you individually? Does He know you? There's a lot of us in this room. Does He know each one of us? We got that word today through Jeremiah, that God knew Jeremiah before he was ever born. He was knitted together in his mother's womb. And God knew him. He was created anew. Remember this scripture that gave Donald Trump a little trouble? It was 2 Corinthians, wasn't it? 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, new things come. When we become followers of Jesus Christ, we're made anew. Right? Thank goodness, because the old me wasn't all that great. Today we're going to look at how we can rest assured that God knows who we are. Sometimes that can be a little scary. Are you proud of who you are? Pride is a thing we should be leery of, right? We should have strength in who we are. We shouldn't mind that if God sees us in the places where we don't think anyone is watching. now we start getting a little nervous.
Can't I get away from God just for a minute? I want to look at something on the internet. God, go see those folks for a minute. I'll be right back. I want to look at something on Facebook that just popped up. Facebook is so benign that something will pop up on Facebook and I'm like, wonder what that's about. I'm just going to look so I can warn people about it. God knows us. God knows my heart. We're going to find out, like Jeremiah did, that God knew him intimately. Before he was ever born. Boy, God really knows him inside and out, doesn't he? If he knows us inside and out, I'd like to say, God, you know this bad knee that I have? You know this old diabetes thing we have? We have, God. Come on, God, help me out with this. You know who Jeremiah was, right? He was a prophet in Israel. He was called out to be a spokesperson for God. Now, my own call experience happened on February 26, 2003, about 9:15 in the evening. God came knocking. I said, no one's home. No, I didn't. I said, God, where have you been? I've been sitting here waiting for you. You finally have come. And like Jeremiah, that evening, I felt pretty good about that. The next morning, I started doubting God's wisdom. God, you've got the wrong man. See, I like Moses, now I like Jeremiah a lot better. They said, wait, God, you got the wrong guy. Have you ever called God that? Have you ever had God come knocking? You say, I gave him the office. I wonder who this is. I wonder what they want. What do they want? What does God want from me? I'm busy. I have a family to take care of. I have children to raise, grandchildren to nurture. I have a means of living to worry about. We can isolate ourselves from God, can't we? We can remove ourselves from God's presence. Does God remove himself from our presence? No, not likely. But it's pretty easy for us to remove ourselves from God's presence. Although we're fooling ourselves when we say that, because we're like, okay, God's not here. He's busy. You know, you guys got a lot of trouble. He's busy with you guys. I got a few minutes to spare here. God doesn't work like that. We are God's workmanship. He loved us. He created in us to do good things. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now that makes me nervous, because God thought of things for me to do before I was ever here. Give me a break. Can I have a couple of weeks off? I need a vacation. I need time for myself. And God had something for me to do before I ever got here. Hey, dude, back off a little bit. Give me some space. The Bible leaves no doubt in our minds that God knew who we were long before we were ever created. Now, is it up to us to do what God created us for and to do? This is where we get into trouble, because God let us decide when we're going to do what it is. You know, people often ask me, why did these guys in the Bible live 400, 500, 600 years? Because it took them a long time to realize God had something for them to do. For some reason, we must be better nowadays, because now we're lucky to maybe make it to 100, right? Or God said, you know what, maybe they're not going to get it. I'm going to call them back in, and we're going to have a meeting and talk about this. And I don't know. I can't think for God right now. But
Throughout the Bible, we read about God knowing us and loving us, sending us His Son. God knows what we're going through. When you've given yourself over to God, and there's been trouble in your life, has the trouble somehow disappeared or became less? When you've given it up to God, I tell people all the time, they're just in such distress and turmoil. I said, you're not going to be better until you give it up to God. They called me back a week later and said, I give it up, but I'm still here. God knows your heart. Did you really give it up? Do you believe there's things in your life you have no control over? Things that happen to you that you have no, you can't fix it. You ever had the can't fix it syndrome? Now I'm Mr. Fix-It. My wife and I used to ride to work back and forth in the morning, and she'd have a problem, I'd tell her how to fix it. She didn't want me to tell her how to fix it, right? She didn't come to me for an answer. She said, I come to you just for a hug. I'm like, oh, come on, come on. Let me fix this so we can move on. She would have trouble at work, and I'd say, you want me to go up there and beat people up? No. I want you to sit there and shut up while I talk. Those of you that know me know that's a little... I've struggled with that. Men in general are fixers. Men, right? When things happen, let's get it fixed. Let's move on. Well, God knows us and knows we're like that. You know, when we know God, we should have confidence in that, huh? What I said to the children this morning is what I'm telling you all today. Last week, as we finished up our pledge campaign and we were making these commitments, my message was trust. You don't have to trust me. You don't have to trust the leadership council in this church. You don't have to trust the person sitting next to you, necessarily. But what you have to do is trust God. He knows who you are. Second part of this message is God set us apart. Back to that, God had something for us to do before He ever made us. How does God do that? There's a lot of us around, aren't there? Mm-hmm. And God has set the plan in motion before we ever were created. Knitted together in our mother's womb. Let me ask you, and some of you are advancing in years now, do you feel you fulfilled God's calling on your life? My dad laid in a nursing home for 4 years asking me, why am I still here? Mm-hmm. What's God doing? You know what? God still has something for him to do. That's what I would tell him. If you want to go to heaven, Dad, you better get busy. God's still using you for something, and as soon as you get it done, he'll take you. And you know what? We often thought, ourselves, our family included, what is he using my father for? Those of you that came to his funeral here, there were a lot of people from that nursing home, the staff. Even a lady that was lived there, they brought her. And all they spoke about was old Herb, man, he always had a smile, he always had a story to tell. He always made us laugh. He was a maintenance man for 60 plus years. He could fix things. I could go anywhere at Noreen McKean and anybody see me say, how's Herb doing today? The guy coming along working on the air conditioners. Boy, your dad told me how he used to work on air conditioning. Always had a good story to tell. So I had to tell my dad, Dad, maybe you're here to cheer these people up. He was pretty good at that. He made people feel good. So I don't know why when we're struggling, especially at the end of our lives, why are we still here? Well, hang in there. Trust God, because there's some purpose for that. I guarantee you there is some purpose. Each one of us was created for a specific reason. Jeremiah 29:11, I've said it many times. Nancy and I have this engraved inside of our wedding ring. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. We trust that. We've given ourselves to that. And God has honored, I think, our faith for that. God's certainly given us everything we need. Now, there's a few things I want. So far, God hasn't saw fit to provide that. But you know what? He's a good God. He loves us. Maybe He will. There's a Ranger bass boat that's got my name on it somewhere. Max, we're going fishing in a Ranger bass boat someday. If God would just listen. But I need it bad, I tell God. I can do ministry in a bass boat. I'll take God's permission. I can bring people to the Lord in a Ranger bass boat. That's silly, isn't it? You know, when we realize that God has a plan for our lives, and we try to continue to fill our life with our own plan, sometimes that doesn't mesh with God's plan, does it? Have you ever asked God, why doesn't my plan mesh with your plan, God? Where are you at? Friends of mine, I have another young fellow that's thinking about going into ministry. And we're going to meet in a week or two, and he wants to ask, how did it go for you? I've had this nudge on my life. I've started the process. What I'm going to tell him, and I've told many people asking, how was it for you? And I tell them what I wanted to do, what my plan was, I could not knock the door down. I couldn't. I wanted to do something else for God. And I told God, God, I think this is what we should do. Get on board with this plan. This is going to work. I got good feelings about this. For 4 or 5 years, I did all I could to kick the door in. You know what? Couldn't make it happen. Never had an opportunity to pursue that. On a Friday evening, about 5 o'clock, I got a call, and the door swung wide open, and I'm standing there beating on this one and fell backwards and fell through another door. But God, that's not the door I wanted. Jeremiah said, no, that's not me. I said the same thing. Where God wanted me to go, the doors were flung open. The doors I wanted to go through apparently had double bed bones because I couldn't get them open. So with that experience, you know what I do now? Okay, God, where are we going today? Where are you aiming me today? My life got a lot happier and simpler. And things that used to just drive me mad now are gone. So folks, I can just tell you that it works. If we trust God. If we're filling our lives with our plans, we need to step back and say, God, what is your plan for my life? What things are going to fill me up? I meet with people all the time that are empty. They're hollow. There's no meaning in their life. You know what I tell them? You've got to see where God is leading you. Jesus has got his hand out. Grab onto it. God told Jeremiah that he set him apart. Set you apart means to separate you. To get you out there where you need to be. He told Jeremiah, I've got specific things for you to do. There's certain things I've called you to do. That's God's desire and purpose for our lives. He has a specific purpose for you. The third thing is God appointed you. through the bishop and the district superintendent and the Florida Conference of the United Methodist Church, through God's intervention, God appointed me here. You know, people often ask, how do they appoint pastors in churches? There's hours and hours of prayer go into that process. And then the bishop's cabinet, they get together and they make decisions for churches. No, I'm not leaving. Or maybe you hope I will leave, I don't know. But we've been appointed. I have been appointed here for this time and this place. You have been appointed to sit in these pews today for an hour, but then you've been appointed to get up and do something. Get up and get busy for God. God is giving you up to this world. John 3:16 says that God loved the world so much that He gave His Son to us. He gave Jeremiah away as well. He's giving you away. But in a way that you should be happy about. That you should be fulfilled. That your life, your story should be your story. When we argue with God and say, God, I've got a better way. I don't want to go your way. Our thinking is backwards. It's saying that God was created for me. Do you know there's people probably sitting in this room that think God was created for me? We were created for God. Life gets simpler when we give that up. Jeremiah 18:6 talks about the potter and the clay. The potter forms the clay into something usable. God does that to us. If the clay is hard-headed and won't conform to the potter's hand, it's discarded. God doesn't discard us, but what God does, He molds us and forms us. Even broken people can be used by God, amen? Broken people make the best servants. Do you agree? Because it's not about us. Broken people expose themselves to the work of God in their life. That's what we're called to do. We've got to be clay that can be molded into something productive. From the potter's hands, we will be formed to do what the potter has intended for us. We've got to stop trying to do things on our own and simply lean on Jesus. Do you trust Jesus enough to lean on Him? Mm-hmm. We've got to lean on Jesus. We've got to ask Jesus to come into our hearts. Hear these words as I pray this prayer. And ask Jesus into your heart if you haven't already. But it's always good to refresh and renew as well. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have sinned against You. My sins have hurt me. Father, I ask You to forgive my sins today. This is the first time we have asked Jesus' forgiveness. The angels are celebrating in heaven. If we are renewing our commitment to Jesus Christ, we know that He died for us, that He rose from the grave. He is the only one that can save us. Father, I pray today might be crooked and twisted today, we pray that you would straighten us out. Father, we need you, we love you, we reach out pleadingly to you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. I pray today that you have made a renewed commitment to your Savior. Or if this is a first-time commitment for you today, I would love for you to come forward. We can have a time at the altar here today. If any of you have pledge cards you would like to bring and place in the basket, you can do that as well. But as we go into our closing hymn today, we're pleading out for our Savior to not only know us, but to pick us up in life, lead us, and guide us. So if you have made that first-time commitment today, come forward. I would love to spend a moment in prayer with you. Or this can be a time spent with just you and your Savior. Let's stand for our closing hymn. I am thine, O Lord, 419. Human trap. That turned out very well, didn't it? So look for us on the Super Bowl. I don't know how that's going to take place, but thank you all who participated in that. You can actually read it as well. We're now going to consecrate these pledge offerings brought forward this morning before the cross. Holy Father, we pray your blessing upon the pledge made to you. Father, we pray that your divine discipline would call us into ministry to your kingdom. Father, I pray an anointed blessing upon these offerings, that those given with a loving heart will be fulfilled in the same manner and bring us joy. Father, thank you for our commitment to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we receive this benediction today, know that you can trust God for one. God is trustworthy, I promise. And as we leave this place, let us recommit ourselves to the path God has called each of us. It can be scary, but Jesus is holding our hand. Receive this benediction. Father God, as we leave this place, give us a spirit of boldness. Father, you have promised us in Jeremiah 29:11 that you will give us a hope and a future. Father, we love you. Keep us safe as we leave this place. Let us be your children in the world, a children of light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.